It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix back on this Tuesday edition. Jeff and Taylor on the microphones. Portland Hearts of Pine are through their very first season here in Portland. They sold out every single game at Fitzpatrick Stadium, and they were one penalty kick away from reaching the league final. We are very, very honored to be joined right now by the club's leading scorer from its inaugural season. He's also signed a contract to come back for year number two. Ollie Wright joins us in studio right now. Ollie, first off, thanks so much for spending some time with us, man. How are you?
I'm very good. No, thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, we're honored to have you here. And first question I want to ask to you, you obviously signed up for this thing probably not knowing what the Portland Hearts of Pine experience was going to be. So what was it like once you finally kind of stepped out on a pitch here, saw what this was going to be, and are able to put that crest on?
It was honestly so much more than I ever thought it would be. I think all of us, obviously with it being a new club, we had, you know, visions of what it could potentially be. But I mean, seeing that first game, and then not only that, but then the consistency of the fans coming to every single game, every game being sold out, even the support that we had on the road at away games, like, I just didn't think it would ever be quite what it turned out to be. I was very pleasantly surprised.
And for you guys, it felt like, too, there was, like, adversity in the beginning of the season where maybe the goals weren't going, and then as you guys found your identity, you really started to put it together and make that run to the semifinal. When do you think for you and the group it really started inside for you guys internally? Do you think it really started to click? Like, is there a moment that you look to that you just say, hey, that was when we all as a collective group realized sky was the limit?
Yeah, I'd probably say it was about 6 or 7 games in. I'd probably credit most of it to that Naples home game, our first win. I think, you know, as a new team, it's always tough because you're pulling in players from all sorts of different backgrounds, all sorts of different teams from previous seasons and whatnot. So it takes a lot to kind of mold that group. And obviously Bobby has his identity tactically, so we all had to kind of buy into that. And sometimes it does take time. But, you know, I think after that you saw that we just kind of, you know, the trajectory was just on the constant rise. And yeah, we lost a couple games here and there, but I think we really bought into the tactical element that Bobby was trying to have us play. And yeah, it went really well. Like you said, we're one penalty kick away from reaching the final.
What do you think improved most about your game over the course of the season?
Individually?
Yes, individually.
I put it a lot down to confidence. I'm a confidence player. So for me, once I scored that first goal of the season, I kind of just felt like I didn't look back. And I'd also, again, with the team, once the team starts to click, it obviously makes individuals' jobs easier. Mm-hmm. I know that's cliche to say that, you know, it's down to the teammates, but it really is. Soccer's obviously a team sport. And I think when you have everyone performing on a consistent basis, the individuals start to shine through that as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm interested, too, with your success, I know some of the fans really started to enjoy the celebrations, especially the golf celebration. Where did you get the inspiration for that one? That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one. So Bobby, actually, a few of us went golfing, like when we definitely should have gone golfing. It was like a day or two before a game. And Bobby's usually fine with us golfing. Like, he doesn't mind, but as long as it's, you know, at the right time.
Right, right.
So he had a word with a couple of us and was like, you know, stay off the golf course in harsher words than that. But then I scored and I was like, okay, Bobby, I'll give you a little bit of a little something, you know. But I never told him that. So if he's listening, I hope he's not into but yeah, so it was just a little bit of, a little bit of tongue in cheek and just a bit of banter. But yeah, it seemed to stick on and the fans seemed to love it. So I thought, why not make it like, I guess, my signature seller, you know?
Any favorite spots around here that you really got to get the clubs going? We have, I know here on the Jab, we got Pete who comes on the mornings, so there's a lot of golf, you know, fans here that listen to the Jab. Where's your favorite spot you found in Maine?
I usually go to Dutch Elm in Arundel. That's the place I usually go to. Or if me and Mickey Riley was the guy that I went with a lot, if me and him were like trying to improve our game, we'd usually go to the municipal course in South Portland because it's supposed to be easier. It's not easier. I've lost about 150 balls in that course, but, but it's cheap. It's a good place to try and learn if you're if you're a novice, which I 100% am. Yeah, I do a golf swing celebration, but I cannot play golf at all. But
no,
I try.
Shame in that.
I try.
Well, that's good. It's probably part of the whole tongue in cheek bit, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, you still kind of try to learn the game and do better at it, without a doubt. Joined by Ollie Wright from Portland Hearts of Pine, and obviously, with the success this season, I know you've already agreed to come back for next season. Was that a hard decision for you at all, or was it a fairly easy one when they offered you another contract?
It was fairly easy, 100%. I think that this is the kind of place that you don't see often in the USL. I've had conversations with teammates, with friends on other teams, and you know, I think it's pretty well known that this is 100% the best supported club in our league. And I would argue that it's one of the best supported clubs in the whole of USL in general. So I kind of feel like it's the place to be for me. I feel like I've landed on my feet. The community aspect is great. And I just, I can't really see another place that I'd want to be. I've said to people that it's going to be hard to top next season in terms of, you know, the atmosphere at the games and whatnot. But I just know somehow it will be topped. I said that at every home game. I was like, there's no way that the next game's going to be better than that. But it always was, you know. Even games we lost, the fan support was just nonstop. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to next season. And, yeah, it was a very easy decision to come back.
Yeah.
Well, and coming from a place, especially from abroad, where soccer culture is so much more than it is here, has that helped you with that decision, coming from a place where soccer is so beloved, and then seeing here in Portland, like, even though you don't see it everywhere in the United States, it almost has that same kind of love for soccer as I'm sure you see back at home?
Yeah, 100%. I tell people often that this sort of – this city reminds me very much of back home. Obviously, the cold weather. but yeah, also the passion and the love that the fans have for soccer. And I'm really glad to, you know, sometimes I see people out on the street that tell me that it's more than a results-based game for them. You know, they feel like the team and the club has really positively impacted the community off the field as well. And that's something that I take real pride in, because at the end of the day, soccer is a 90-minute game on the field.
Yeah.
But for us to be able to have the impact after that is something that, yeah, we take great pride in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you kind of mentioned this feels like home in a little bit of a way. I mean, you're from London originally. I mean, talk about that. I mean, that is ground zero for soccer passion in the world. So tell me what growing up there was like, and kind of how maybe that helped engender this passion for the sport that you've picked up.
Yeah, soccer back home is literally like a religion. You know, I feel like pretty much every kid is playing it on the street or at school or club soccer, whatever it may be. But, you know, with that comes the toughness of having a lot of footfall. So trying to make to the professional ranks is always going to be tough, because you're competing with so many more people. But, yeah, it was great. It was something my dad played, so it was something that I was introduced to from pretty much as soon as I could walk. So I always knew that it was the avenue that I wanted to take. Obviously, my journey took a slightly different route in terms of coming over here to play collegiately at 18. You know, I wasn't fortunate enough to make it in the pro ranks over there. But again, I feel like I'm really happy with the route I took, because I've been able to visit some great places, meet some great people that if I had have made it pro in England, I wouldn't have maybe met or seen those particular things. So, yeah, I think every journey is different, and I'm super grateful for the one that I've managed to take.
Yeah, and to take it back to the season a little bit too. I know there was a moment that you got to share with your dad, if I'm not mistaken, there with you during what was that like to be able to score that goal in front of him, and then the celebration? I was right in the back, dude. I know me and my buddy were going nuts watching that. Yeah. That was one of the coolest moments, I think, of the season as well. And I'm sure for you personally, probably meant a lot.
Yeah, 100%. He comes over every year, and He's been such a great supporter of me since day one, through the good times, through the bad times. So to be able to share, that was the first goal I've ever scored in front of him. So to be able to share that moment with him. And I told him, I said, Dad, stand by the Dirigoe Union so that if I score, I can run to you. And of course, he was nowhere near. So I ran to the Dirigoe Union and jumped in the crowd. And I was like, awesome. Where is he? And I turn and I see him sprinting down the line. And I'm like, okay, I'll run over to him. But yeah, super special moment. And one that will live long in the memory, for sure.
I'm sure it will. And speaking of on the pitch, I've got to ask you about what looked to me like a really good on-field chemistry and partnership with Nathan Messer, who would always play on the same side. You guys seem to link up all the time. Tell me how that developed, and was it kind of quick in developing that kind of partnership, if you will?
Yeah, I'd say so. Me and Messer are people that see the game very similarly. So it was pretty easy. Obviously, we play on the same side, so it was pretty easy from like our first few days of training to be like, okay, we can strike up a bit of a partnership here. Having such an attacking fullback down my side helps my game massively. And I think because he knows that I'm not a direct winger in terms of I'm not the kind of person that likes to beat a player and get to the byline and cross it in. I'm more of like a combine and slow the game down kind of player. So that allows him to be the person that makes that overlapping run. So I think we complement each other's game really well. And obviously you saw that on a few goals this year where we combined and either he was scoring or I was scoring. So yeah, he makes my job much, much easier. And yeah, it's a pleasure to play with him.
Yeah, and looking just at in general, especially you in transition, it felt like that was some of your strongest play was in transition, whether it be scoring or finding your teammates. What do you, especially when you get into those moments, what for you is the most important part for you once the ball gets on your foot in transition to start creating for you guys?
I think it's in those transition moments is just having the calmness. And you know, I think at times you can have a situation where you see the goal and it's like, oh my God, I've got to score right now. You know what I mean? Whereas I think it's important to kind of slow your mind down and make the right decision because, you know, you've only got split seconds to deal with in those situations. But obviously it also helps when you've got the likes of Tydus Washington or JT or Walter making incredible runs. And like I said, it just makes my job a lot easier, you know?
JT's got some speed, doesn't he, man?
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. I know a lot of kids, I coach soccer at Cheverus, all my kids, they love you guys so much. A couple of them, though, especially the smaller ones, really took to JT because yeah. We'd point them saying, hey, look, size doesn't matter even at the pro level.
Yeah, he in training, he's an absolute nightmare. Like,
I bet.
Especially if he's on the opposite team, you just don't want to go near him because he's the closest thing to Messi I've ever seen. So, yeah, if you're defending JT, just stay out the way and hope that he passes it backwards because otherwise he's going to embarrass you. But, yeah, what a player. Again, he's someone that came later on in the season and, you know, a lot of his abilities we can accredit to us having a slight turnaround in the season because he attracts two or three people every time he's on the ball. Two or three defenders go to him, so it frees up space for other people. Right. And yeah, great player.
Absolutely. And of course, the club's kind of already announced the guys that are going to return to this club, and it's a good core that's going to come back from last season. How exciting is that you guys were, you know, you got to the heights that you did in year one, and so many of you are going to come back and try to take another run at this thing?
Yeah, I think it's always important to build on a good core, like you say. I think the last thing that a club that was so close to winning it all needs is a complete turnaround and you know, bring back two or three faces, because then you're building again from scratch and you've got to have a whole preseason to learn new things. Whereas, obviously, yeah, like we say, we're bringing, I think, 12 or 13 guys back, I think. And you know, potentially more. I'm not too sure about the guys that are out of contract. I'm not too sure what the situation is there. But yeah, it's going to be important because we're so close. So we just need that extra tiny bit to get over the line. And I really think a lot of people will be wanting to play here next season from other clubs. So I'm sure that Bobby will have some decisions to make in terms of who he's bringing in. And hopefully those guys can be the guys that really do help us get over the line, you know?
One of my takes this year, especially the offseason, I've been saying it on our airwaves when we talk about you guys, I feel like how much the culture, everything, it just feels like this is going to become a bit of a destination. I mean, I see you guys playing over at KPFC with those guys. Some of my soccer kids play with you guys and they love it. I mean, do you think that having this tight-knit community around the club really is going to draw maybe more players that aren't here right now that say, man, hey, Ollie, I've seen what you guys are building there. Like, I want to come be a part of it. Do you see that as this being a desirable destination for free agent soccer players that want to come kind of try to get the most out of their careers?
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of kids, when they're growing up and want to become soccer players, they want, you know, two or three things. One is to earn millions of dollars like the guys in the Premier League.
Right.
Obviously, we don't do that. I think the second thing is to play in front of thousands of people. Luckily, we're fortunate enough to do that. And I think the third thing is to really have an impact on the community around you. Some clubs aren't fortunate enough to have that real strong impact. And I think Portland Hearts of Pine is one that does. And I think that's something that we shouldn't take for granted. And we can really be positive on that impact. So like you say, I think that's something that will definitely draw a lot of people to this club, I'm sure. And I just hope that it's something that, can really maintain for years to come, because there's a few teams that have that support in their first year or two, and doesn't always work out in the long term, but I can't see that being the case here.
No, don't worry. I already read up my season tickets, bro. I'm back next year, man. You know, you're going to have to hear me in the crowd screaming all the time, so you guys are good.
Absolutely. And maybe one last thing for you here, since you are about to head home now for the off season. What does an off season look like for you? And you know, how excited are you to get back for training camp for 2026?
So off season for me looks like eating as much bad food as possible.
Man, hopefully Bobby isn't listening to this, right?
That's probably, except for like my family and friends, the next thing I miss the most about the UK is the food. So I'll definitely spend a week or two stuffing my face. But yeah, then it's just all about spending quality time with family and friends. Like I say, it's a holiday season, so that's always nice. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting back for preseason. I just can't wait for that first Fitzy game, you know. So
absolutely,
yeah. Hopefully it's not too long away.
Fort Fitzy's ready to get rocking again. Yeah. I think, my man. I'll leave you this one too. Last one for me. Any clubs back home you support for EPL? I know for me and my brother, he's a Spurs guy. I'm an Everton guy, which is just a nightmare. I got my Everton jersey on today though, because nice. We did go to Old Trafford yesterday and get one. Who do you support? Is there anyone I should ask if you support?
So I was a Chelsea fan as a kid. I'm not a massive. I haven't got a team right now. I haven't had a team for probably 12 years or so.
Wow.
I don't know what it was. I was always a Chelsea fan as a kid. I used to go to a few of their games, but I don't know. As I got older, I kind of just fell out of love with supporting one team because I was so obsessed with Messi.
Ooh,
I found it tough to, like, if Barcelona were playing Chelsea, I found it tough to support Chelsea because I just wanted Messi to do well.
Right.
So then I realized, okay, maybe I'm not as loyal a fan as I should be. Maybe I should just not support a team. But I have soft spots for Arsenal. I know that you're a Spurs
fan.
So.
That's okay. They beat us down this weekend. Yeah. You know,
well,
right.
And Eze, man, he's like he started with Arsenal too when he first came up.
That's
so
right.
I mean,
yeah,
for
exactly.
him, what a dream come true for him, man, in the North London derby.
But one team that I definitely don't like, and a lot of people know this, is Liverpool. So
we're already off to a great start today, dude, as an Everton fan.
But yeah, Liverpool are the enemies. So.
Yes,
well, if you like Messi so much, does that mean that you technically would be an Inter Miami supporter
right.
now? Is that
I
what
guess,
that means?
Yeah, in a way. Just a Messi fan. Honestly, if Inter Miami lost 5-3, but Messi scored a hat-trick, I'd go to sleep.
He looked great this weekend, too. Yeah, he really did. I mean, he's not lost a beat in the MLS. When it's time to play, I mean, you see it in a game like this weekend, he's ready to play.
And you never know. Maybe next year we have an Open Cup run and see them along the way.
That'd
be fun.
I like where this guy's thinking right there.
Well, that's where the heads to be. That's why they have those kind of challenges. That'd be fun, man,
exactly.
to take a crack at him, man. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Ollie Wright from Portland Hearts of Pine, thanks so much for sharing a few minutes with us. We really appreciate it. You're invited back anytime.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Again, Ollie Wright from Portland Hearts of Pine. We will come right back to finish off hour one. It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix.